Bienvenidos y welcome to the Biz Bruja Podcast, where reclaiming our powerful intuition, our sacred medicina, embracing our magic and healing ancestral patterns, invoke powerful creations in our own well-being, our lives, familias, community, and our businesses. Remembering that our businesses are so important at this time. I'm the creatrix of this blogcast, the Biz Bruja herself, Vanessa Codorniu, a modern-day bruja, fourth-generation psychic medium, clinical hypnotist, energy healer, and soul biz mentor and coach. An Argentine-American who started reading adults at 16, became a professional intuitive at 22, and now guides creatives, intuitives, healers, and entrepreneurs to break through fears, connect to the practical power of their intuition so they can serve the world powerfully. Hello, my beautiful people. We have survived the full moon in Libra and the lunar eclipse. We're still feeling the impact. There may be many things that arise that make us look at something in our lives twice and see it from a different perspective, and perhaps being invited into the realization that the BS that we've been putting up with just no longer applies. Remember that this full moon came in Libra while the sun is in Aries. Aries, a fire sign, a sign of pioneering and independence and entrepreneurial spirit. Libra, the energy of collaboration, social graces, social justice. And we have this lunar eclipse asking us to integrate the lessons. We need to stop being people pleasers and find that balance where we serve our goals and serve our self-care and make ourselves a priority while also taking in the spirit of community. And so the question becomes, how do we honor ourselves, make ourselves a priority, not, as we say in Espanol, aguantar demasiado, put up with too much, and really draw our lines in the sand. So these are some of the things that have been coming up for us since Monday, which just happened, March 25th. And I wanted to just bring that up before we got into today's episode. I woke up this morning, and it's Wednesday, it's Tuesday. I'm scrambled since I woke up this morning. It's Tuesday, the 26th. And the reason that I'm scrambled is at 8:30 in the morning, a friend of mine called me and said, Vanessa, your friend Candace has passed away. And I've been in a bit of a shock all day, because I hadn't talked to her in about 3 years. And you know, sometimes you do that with friends as time goes on, you don't talk, then you come back together and you talk for hours and you catch up on each other's lives, especially since my move from New York to Pennsylvania. And so she informed me that Reverend Candace V. Simmons had passed away. And I'm still a little bit in shock. And I thought of so many things. I'm going to repeat this in the interview that you'll be hearing soon, but this episode just came from my heart real quick. I hope that it serves you. This is an honor of a person that it was amazing to behold her strength, a person that inspired many, a person that had strong integrity, a strong bullshit meter. The power of discernment was very strong in her energy and in her heart. And I thought of no better way than to dig up an old interview that I did with Christine Gutierrez in 2018. We did a summit together called Elevate Voices, Elevating the Voices of BIPOC and Latinx Healers. We did that in 2018. And so bear with me. You may be like, well, I don't know. I wanted to know more about astrology. But this is my way of honoring a conversation and honoring Candace, my friend, who I met in 2009 at the Reveal Summit in 2008 or 2009 in New York City at the Reveal Summit, where I was on the board of that organization. It was a nonprofit at the time with Megan Watterson and so many other folks that y'all know. And From the moment that I met her and I looked at her smile and her energy was big and strong and rooted into the earth, she said to me, I want to train, I want to learn. She had witnessed me speaking during my time on intuition and how it is an ancestral birthright. And from there, she was traveling into Queens to take my intuition classes. And she came to the circles that I had in my home. And I'm saying this was 2009, 10, 11, 12, like throughout the years, whenever she could make it. We've celebrated birthdays together. And she was always someone that I trusted. And I feel that I was that safe place for her to land as well. And so I share this conversation in the spirit of deep gratitude. Thank you, Reverend Candace V. Simmons, my beautiful friend, for walking the earth with us and for sharing your wisdom. So thank you all, and I hope that there are beautiful nuggets of wisdom for you all to gather from this conversation. Gracias.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Elevate Voices. My name is Vanessa Colorneau, and this is a conversation series started by myself, Tatiana Della Piane, and Christine Gutierrez, who is with us today. We started this series because we witnessed the lack of diversity in the wellness and spirituality communities. We decided it was time to change that. It is our intention to inspire dialogue and elevate diverse voices. Now, we know that there are no quick and easy solutions, but this series is our attempt in creating space for change. Now, today we have an amazing guest, someone that I adore very much so, and met her at a wonderful spirituality conference. So I'd love for everyone to welcome Reverend Candace Simmons. Welcome, Candace.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Now, we are so beyond grateful to have you as part of this conversation of Elevating Voices, discussing culture, spirituality, and diversity, and the lack of it, and really just heartfelt conversations on our experiences as healers, artists, and changemakers in this field of spirituality. So welcome to our guest. And I really want to open with, you know, asking Candace how, you know, about your journey, telling us more about your journey and how your culture, you know, your race, your culture, your experience as a woman of color has impacted your journey and your showing up in spirituality and wellness world.
Sure. So spirituality has always been a part of my life. I had praying elders. And so I always had belief and faith. But in 94, I had three close relatives, including my father, who passed in a 6-month period. And I was very devastated. And an elder had suggested to me, maybe 6 or 8 months before that happened, that I start meditating because she felt I was highly intuitive. And I wasn't necessarily open to it. At that time, you know, this is 94, 95. There aren't a lot of people, particularly in my community, talking about meditation and mindfulness. And it was really in my devastation that I went and I took some one-on-one classes with an instructor. And even then, I wasn't always comfortable with it because things started showing up in my meditations pretty quickly. But every time I'd stop meditating, I'd really be called back into it. And so it's been a long and beautiful journey, lots of insights. And a couple of years ago, actually 5 years ago, I graduated from an interfaith seminary. And while I was in seminary, I saw a video of civil rights workers during the sanitation strike in 1968. And Dr. King was so tired, he was actually swaying, like he could barely stand up. And I made a determination that I would teach meditation and mindfulness for people who were interested in doing that kind of work as a way to have sustenance, as a way to take care of yourself when you're dealing with the various challenges that come with being an activist. And so I've taught healthcare workers and nurses and regular folk. I'm also a sound practitioner. So it's been an interesting ride. And I actually also have a background in architecture and real estate. So I feel that I can work with all kinds of people. I'm very woo-woo, but I'm also, you know, someone who is used to working in business settings.
Thank you for sharing that. And Christine, I don't know if you had any question coming up.
Yeah, I love that. To me, you know, what I hear is like you're the healer among healers, right? Like we, I didn't know that about Dr. King.
Yeah.
I was swaying and I just, so I feel, you know, and I think that one of the things is that we're learning that, you know, we can't really heal if we're not able to be able to replenish our vessel. And I think that what you're speaking to, you know, is as we're having these conversations, even for ourselves during this series, it's a deeply emotional series for us and for a lot of the guests that are coming on. And it stirred up emotions that we didn't remember were there. And when you stir up any emotions, you know, in a healing process, it creates pain, it creates sadness. You remember things, you maybe get too extreme in certain cases, right? Because you're waking all these things up and it's not necessarily a rational thing. It's just what happens. And so I wanted to ask you what has been your experience with, you know, as we are having and holding these conversations on race, on culture, on the lack of diversity, on different opinions on what that looks like and the pros and cons. I've been having conversations with my partner, with some of my best friends, and I've been opening myself up to different perspectives, because at first I was very like, you know, I'm focusing on this and women of color. And I kind of closed myself to other opinions because there was so much coming up for me. Right. And so what do you suggest for those of us that are dealing with all these feelings and how we ground and how we can take care of ourselves?
Yeah. For me, meditation and mindfulness is really foundational. It's like brushing your teeth every day. So it's a way of centering yourself and strengthening yourself emotionally, spiritually. I've used meditation for physical ailments. So it really helps you get grounded. And really the point of meditation is to be present to your truth, to feel oneness, to experience that on a conscious level. There are lots of different ways of meditating. Mindfulness is probably what we hear more of now in mainstream, essentially focusing on your breath. But being able to stop and take a breath and then reassess when all of these feelings are coming up is a great practice in mindfulness. We know the effects on the brain. That's one of the benefits of the study of mindfulness. And so it shrinks the amygdala, which is our lizard brain, our fight and flight part of the brain. It fires up the hippocampus, which is where we feel compassion. It can help us feel good about our bodies. You know, there are so many issues in terms of how we feel about our bodies. It can help us be aware of our emotions, right? So that rather than suppressing them, an emotion that we feel is so-called negative is an opportunity for us to ask a question about what's really going on. I found that meditation helps me kind of create healthy boundaries and also question boundaries that I may have set that aren't helping me. So it really is a diverse world in terms of meditation and its benefits.
I just wanted to ask you one follow-up question to that. So I've noticed that for myself and for a lot of us that are engaging in these conversations on race and culture, lack of diversity, cultural appropriation, identity politics, all of these big, you know, conversations with varying views. And, you know, what about the feeling of anger? You know, there's some of us that I'm reassessing right now. I'm going through my own process of like what I feel and what I believe in terms of anger. So for instance, when we talk about these things and we remember, you know, I feel like I haven't been represented enough. There's an anger that comes up, at least for me, right? Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of people from white women share with me that I deeply love, you know, and respect. Like I can't take like when someone is, you know, verbally attacking me, it feels abusive. Like I feel like there's a balance between, you know, someone honestly sharing their rage and anger and it not coming towards me. And then, you know, there's a lot of words in this kind of conversation, like white tears and, you know, mm-hmm. Like just shut up and sit down and listen. And there's a part of me that understands that rage, right? Because I identify that with that more than the inability to sit with that rage. But as I've been moving through my own integration, I'm questioning things. And I don't know right or wrong, but I just wanted to get your insight into what's a healthy way to hold the anger and share the anger. And is there a balance with attacking people, in your opinion, when we're having these conversations? Like, what would be your perspective on this?
Well, these two words there, anger and rage, and those are two very different things, right? Anger can be healthy. Rage tends to be uncontrolled, right? And so anger that's not given a chance to express can move into rage. And rage is typically not going to be helpful. It's not going to be helpful for anyone who's listening to the conversation or participating in the conversation, or for you yourself, because it's just unhealthy for the body. I suggest, you know, when these conversations are being had, that if there's someone moderating, that people have to be able to hold the container, right? And you can start doing that by perhaps having a guided meditation that talks about or speaks to the fact that uncomfortable things are going to occur. Because when you meditate, uncomfortable things can happen. And part of the process of meditating on a regular basis is that it's a practice, and you have to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. In terms of people feeling attacked, you know, sometimes people feel attacked when their simple way of being is questioned. And so that is something that has to be discussed, particularly in terms of the term white tears, which is, you know, I'm not comfortable, so I start crying, or I start shifting the conversation so it's about me as opposed to the issue that's being discussed. I think it's healthy for people to have lots of techniques, meditative techniques that are both mind and also physical related to the body, because there's also can be an issue where people do meditation and it's very upper chakra and not dealing with the lower chakras, not dealing with the body, because anger can lodge itself in different places in the body. And so it's important to be able to understand and pay attention to what's happening in your body when you're starting to feel stressed, when you're starting to feel angry, and to use techniques to get to release that. Meditative techniques can help, dance, exercise. You know, there are reasons why we want to have a holistic approach to our wellness. This is a time where where we're discussing things that have been discussed in the past, but it seems like the Band-Aid has been ripped off. Like, there's no veneer of even trying to be kind to each other in some of these conversations. And I feel that the foundation of mindfulness helps, and meditation helps when you're getting angry. So, you know, I'm getting angry. How do I want to deal with this? You take a breath. And then you can decide to say what you're going to say, maybe say it differently, maybe take a step out of the room. You know, it really depends. But I'm not the biggest fan of meditation equals equanimity, meaning that we don't feel anything, because I don't think that's part of the process of being a spiritual being on a human walk, that there are going to be feelings, and there are going to be feelings that are deemed to be difficult.
Yeah. I love the distinction between anger and rage and the ability to be able to. And I think, you know, one of the takeaways that I think is that there needs to be spaces where, because you said it turns into rage when there isn't the space to express it. I think that, you know, as a therapist and someone that's been feeling rage, you know, I'm honest, there's been unhealthy rage that I felt that I needed a space to express it. And sometimes when things happen, community where you see an opportunity to express those repressed feelings of anger that have turned into rage, it gets messy. And I think then if we think solutions, we think, well, if this is the problem, it's not that you're wrong for having those feelings, is that it might not be the healthiest way to express it. It might not get us where we want to go. And can we
So you've just broken up and I can't hear you.
Space to get rid of those.
I'm frozen.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can't hear Christine anymore. She was asking a question about, I think, spaces and anger and rage.
Oh, I think I cut out there.
Yes.
What? Just very briefly before I cut out again, having the spaces that we need in order to express rage is really important for us, like safe spaces to express rage so that we're not doing it in places where it might not be as helpful, so that we can get that release, that cathartic release that we need, and mm-hmm. then we can actually have healthier conversations where we're not denying ourselves the experience of being angry and rageful, but we're also not creating more of a mess for ourselves and for others.
Right, so by being in touch with our feelings and emotions through meditative practices and others, we can help ourselves get to a place where we're dealing with anger first before it becomes rage, mm-hmm. right? Because once we get into rage, we can get into a place that can be dangerous for ourselves and for others. And I'm not suggesting that everyone who's engaging in rage is dangerous, but what I am suggesting is that these things are a practice. And so you do them every day to the best of your ability without judgment about yourself, without feeling shame about yourself because you're angry or whatever, so that you can kind of address it when it's present, as opposed to letting things build up and suppress. So many times, I can say as a Black woman, trying to avoid that angry Black woman stereotype and then suppressing and then all of a sudden, you know, wanting to curse someone out. So putting yourself in a position where you have more opportunity to engage in practice, and practice can be, you know, something that you do for 2 minutes, like breathing. I always think the first thing I learned when I took meditation classes was breath work and breathing from the belly, and that's the way we should be breathing all the time, you know, not just when we meditate, breathe from the belly, but that helps us center ourselves. When we're breathing from the chest all the time, that's kind of fight or flight breathing. So, you know, getting more of these tools, paying attention to what we ingest, not only in terms of what we eat, but what we watch. So much of what we watch is violent. Violent, physically violent in how we speak to each other, the programming that we watch, the movies that we watch. You know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, everything be, we're all kind of holding hands and skipping in terms of what we watch, but I think we do need to pay attention to things that anesthetize us to violent words and violent actions. And that is this really entertainment?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Candace, and thank you, Christine. As I'm listening to both of you talking about the difference between rage and anger and finding those spaces, this has also been difficult for me as we're doing these conversations. I'm experiencing them as well. I think the first ones that we did, you know, I was crying after every one of them. And then going into exploring, you know, ancestors and my experiences and their experiences. And so one of the things that personally for me has brought up, you know, my upset, and I think it's relevant to this conversation as well, is the availability, right? Like the mindfulness practices, you know, meditation, transcendental meditation. I don't mean to point it out, but it's very expensive. We see that so much of our ancestral wisdom has been commoditized, and, mm-hmm. you know, we have a high priced ticket placed on each of them. I think we've shared this before, but a couple of months ago, I was in the Bronx, and it was a group of kids of color. And I said to them, you know, what do you think of when you think of meditation and mindfulness? And all of them said, and they were all girls, and they all said, some of them all used to be like bald brown men in robes. Now I think of skinny white women and these little, you know, with blue eyes, and they're like in yoga positions dressed in white with little tank tops. And then I pressed the button on the PowerPoint, and I was like, well, you think of that for a reason, because here they are, the cover of Time magazine. Here's the other cover of the other magazine. And so any Any thoughts on your experience? How have you seen, you know, lack of inclusion in meditation or mindfulness in your experience? Have you witnessed
lack of inclusion?
Yes. Yeah, you're like, girl, it is what it is. I can't elaborate too much more.
I go into places and spaces where there's going to be meditation. I don't want to name them. And I don't see a lot of people of color. I just don't. Now, there are reasons for that. Part of it is our religious history. I mean, you know, I come out of a Black church background. So, you know, and kind of the issue about meditation and what it is and how people feel about that religiously and spiritually. I think it's important to have people who teach who can come from a perspective that is diverse. Because I've also been in places where the meditation was very geared towards one particular belief system. And when people started asking questions, the questions were answered in a way that I was not comfortable with because it was coming out of one particular belief system. And I tend to be, I'm an interfaith minister, so I tend to be a little bit more diverse. I also see issues with age. You know, I go into some of these places and I'm the oldest person there. But I keep going. There's one place that I go to and there's a people of color sit and I continue to go to that. Also meditation for me is spiritual. And so sometimes I may go someplace and to meditate and I don't feel like my spiritual need is met. And so I'll still meditate at home that day to make sure I do my daily spiritual practice.
Thank you for that. And I mean, even just the suggestions that you've given us is that we don't need to overcomplicate it. Because I've heard people say to me, well, I can't afford that, and I can't go to that, so I can't learn. And I know there's so many different techniques now available online. I mean, would you say that it can be, we can start maybe as simply as breathing, you know, low in our bellies the way we're supposed to in our diaphragm and just being present?
Yeah, and then there are things on YouTube. You know, there are sound meditations on YouTube. I have one, and there are other people who have sound meditations on YouTube. There are now apps. So there are apps that are relatively inexpensive where you can use the app to meditate. And then you can also just use the timer on your phone to meditate. And I think another issue that people have challenges with is that meditation is difficult, that I can't stop thinking, that I can't. And it's a practice. So, you know, you get better at it. And then also there are times when, you know, you've been practicing for a very long time and you can have challenges. We had a suicide in the family, Christmas Eve of 2016. And I had challenges sitting. And so what I did was I played Native American flute because I was just really crushed. And just a sitting practice combined with my ancestral work was just too painful. And so the breath and sound of playing flute was helpful for me. So the other thing I want to encourage is that by people trying different things, that you have a toolkit. Because sometimes you may need to switch things up, and that's okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for that. I found for me, as all of this has been coming up, and, you know, my first chakra has been acting up with my lower back pain, I found that showing up for improv, I know it's so odd, right? But I find it meditative, even though I'm with other people, because it invites me into a space of listening and reacting without pushing an agenda.
Right.
Without too much thinking, without too much criticism, because it's like, is it going to suck? Is it going to be? No, I'm just stepping up. I'm listening. I'm answering. And so for anyone watching, we can find a meditative space or a way to connect to our present moment through sitting, through meditation, through ancestor work, breath work, through playing the, was it the Peruvian flute or was it?
I was playing Native American flute. But the issue was for me, it was breath and sound. Because I also use Himalayan singing bowls when I teach or when I give a meditative experience. So for me, breath and sound was very helpful until I felt like I was in a place where I could sit, do my regular sit.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I think that that's nice to remind people that, you know, I consider it, you know, I don't know if it's the technical word, I can't remember the technical word right now, but like a more feminine-based, earth-based meditation versus like, you know, the ether kind of meditation where you're moving towards the sky versus moving towards the earth. And you mentioned that. And I think that in many of the Native American traditions and many of the Peruvian traditions and many of the African traditions, there's a focus on embodying the earth elements. And in some of the more, you know, like, for example, Yogi Bhajan, Kundalini, it's more of astral energy, sky energy, escaping the body. And every breathwork and meditation we do activates different parts of our body. It activates different emotions. And what I found to be helpful is asking ourselves, what does this mantra make me feel in my body? You know, when I teach, I don't tell people the meaning of the mantras. I ask them to just tell me what it feels like in their body, because it's in their body already. And when they do that, you know, like when I teach them Bij mantras, which are the seed mantras in my path of a more feminine Shakti-based Kundalini, they're like, oh, I feel it here. It's like, glum gum ganapataye varvada. You feel it there. And when you're doing the other ones, you feel it here. And so using the tools, right? Like getting familiar and knowing that, like, you don't need a teacher for that. You can just ask yourself, what does that word sound like in my body? You know, YouTube is great too, for this is a free series. So anyone that's watching and listening to this, you know, the same way we can learn to do makeup tutorials, let's look up meditation and breathwork tutorials. Like literally the keyword you can plug in is meditation, breathwork, breathing techniques for relaxation, and let's start using the free tools we have so that we can empower ourselves, right? And the other thing I wanted to say as an actionable tool for anyone watching is that whatever we don't see in the United States, even the poor, we do have certain privileges that in other countries are like a far off dream. And so I think that one of the things that I want to remind myself and everyone of is that we do have certain privileges here in the United States that allows us the freedom to be able to create that which we want to see. And, you know, sometimes in our anger or in our rage or wherever that process is, we can forget that and focus on the problem and not focus on the solution. And we need to focus on the problem so we know how to inform the solution that we want to create. But let's be mindful of how long we sit in these spaces, because we have power and there's so much magic in being able to create that. You know, Vanessa started her YouTube channel or her Spanish page and it blew up. She has these short clips that she does in Spanish. So she created that which she wanted to see. I created the Diosa tribe. Diosa is a Spanish word for goddess, right? Like, you keep showing up to the spaces regardless of age. I have two women that come to my circles that are over 60. I think even one over 70. And they love it. And they're like, I wish I could find more older women. And I was like, I want you to create that. I want you to create that. I might not be the best space for that. I say all ages, but I look a certain age and I speak in a certain age demographic. We attract that which we are many times. So we need more leaders that are of that so that people know, because actually the elders, you know, for me, I want to learn more from them. You know, I'm missing them. And in our culture here in America, we forget about their voices. So maybe, you know, just thinking about solutions, right? Like, my boyfriend and I are going to do volunteer work at an elderly home that's close by, and we're going to do meditation. Maybe one of them can learn to lead the classes. Like, I'm not going to go there all the time, so maybe I can teach them. So just, you know, letting our minds and our hearts create solutions, I think, is a helpful way to diffuse anger as well. So I love that you mentioned, you know, the different types of meditations and the different ways and that we can sign up.
Sure. Sure. I don't feel that people have to have a teacher, but I do think it's good for people to have resources, right? And so whenever I teach, I usually give out a page of resources. And so I would love to see that there be more places where people can teach in community, you know, because even finding a place to teach, you know, can be a challenge, and you have to bring people into the space. I have tended to teach in business settings, right? So, and then people come up to me and say, hey, when are you going to be teaching someplace where I can come? Because when it's in a business setting, then it's for the people who are working. I do think there are people who sometimes have challenges with meditation. It's good for them to be able to have someone they can ask questions.
Yeah.
I know that I have taught a class and someone left and they weren't well grounded, and she contacted me and I helped her get more grounded. Now, we were doing a lot of meditation of using sound, and you know, I haven't gone into the various brain states and how meditation can shift you into alpha and beta state and kind of challenges that someone can have with that when I'm doing meditation, leading meditation classes that are more spiritual. And things can happen in the body, and sometimes people are uncomfortable with that and they need someone to talk to. So I think having more resources when people are experiencing things in their body, and let's say the heart chakra is opening up or they're feeling like they're choking. Because I've had all these things happen in classes that there's someone who can speak to them about that.
I love that. And so some of the resources you mentioned people of color that sit. What was the?
Well, so Mindful has a person of color sit. They have a couple of locations in the city. I know this is something that that's going to be shown across the country and globally. And I also think it's important for people of color have asked me, well, where can I go meditate? And to start showing up at some of these places. And when you start showing up regularly, you know, then you can start asking about, hey, you know, we feel that these kinds of issues need to be addressed, because the meditation space is always run by people who are the same folks walking down the street dealing with the same issues that everyone is dealing with. It is a group of humans dealing with all the challenges that humans have. And if people of color are not in these spaces, then those issues do not get addressed. And people can easily engage in spiritual bypass about some of the issues that are going on, not only here in the United States, but in the world.
And what I would say to that is, for those of us that are fortunate enough to have the income to be able to afford some of these pricey spaces, look at, like, as an option, donation-based classes.
Yeah.
Or always email and say, hey, I'm really interested in this class. It's out of my budget. Do you have a sliding scale? Like, sometimes you'll be surprised. But for those of us that do have the income to show up, we can be the voices, you know, like I can show up and be consistent in the space and show them, you know, and show people to be the voice for conversations that need to be had. And then that makes room for those that are less fortunate. I know that I believe she's Indian and her partner is white, and they create a Shakti bar. And one of the things that they have as part of their mission, again, is that they give back to youth, usually kids that are high risk or at risk. And also, you know, they have sliding scale for those that can't afford it, because they realize that yoga and bar was really expensive. So I love that they incorporated that into their model. And I think that we can inspire some places that are doing well with their cash flow to be able to consider these things that maybe you don't think about, right? And I even forget certain things in my models. And that's why I made sure to do, you know, free circles. My Diosa tribe meetups are free to $13. And it's really important that I do those in person, and that people get to see me and feel and see other women of color. And it's all women. And they show up, and it's in New York right now. And they are like, oh my God, I didn't know that this is so amazing to see women of color. The studio owner came up to me and was like, wow, it's so amazing to see so many women of color meditating. Like, he said that to me, and I was like, yeah, isn't it cool? He's like, the music and the vibe. He's like, I'm so happy. I love whenever you do stuff here. It always makes me so happy. And so now he's more willing now, right? Like, I put that perspective in. And so, you know, there's a lot of beauty that can live on the other side of that. And I think that, you remind us of that, of the power of the breath, of the power to heal ourselves, of the, it's not all a shit storm, even if you feel like it is. And, you know, and that there's ways to create a space of healing within our bodies first and foremost, so that we can, you know, go out there.
And to experience peace in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times when we're in these storms, We're worried about what happened before, what will happen, you know, in the future, and just carving out a space where you take a few minutes in the day if you're not ready to do a longer practice. And, you know, that you just be with the breath and focus on now, the moment, because that's what meditation is. It's being present. It's focusing on the now. And, you know, we tend to be Westerners, very heady. And in other places, you know, people do have regular practice, regular spiritual practice that they engage in community. I mean, one of the things that we have an issue with here is that we're not really that great with community here. We have a lot of access to each other through social media, but that's not really community, not necessarily. So, and all the places where I've gone to meditate that weren't places where I kind of created the meditation myself were pretty inexpensive. Right. Either free or maybe 10 bucks. Because it should not be, peace should not only be available to those who can afford it.
I love that. It's so true. Thank you, Candace. Truly, truly. And so today, as we start to come to a close, something that, you know, rings true to me very deeply, and we've all shared this today, is to seek out those free resources, to show up if you have the means, and to ask maybe for a sliding scale, or is there another option? And also something that is part of the way that I've lived and breathed really is when we find something that's lacking, if we can, to create it ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I started in 99, where I was like, I went to this temple, I went to this place, I went to this thing, nothing clicked. And it was a circle for women of color, and all of us and everyone really was included. So as we do this, we're creating the changes and the ripples. So for anybody watching, really take this to heart. Candace has shared so much, knowing that we already have everything that we need within us. We have our breath, we have our bodies, and we have that deepening, that invitation to deepen into this present moment by just using what we have. So thank you, Candace. Thank you so much, Christine. And thank you, everyone. This has been really wonderful. We're going to share how you can connect with Candace. And as you watch this, please share it with others. This will remain free. And it has really been a gift we've given to ourselves. And we hope that it's a gift for you as well to have and hear these conversations. And thank you so much, Candace, for sharing your story, your message, your voice. It all matters to us. We see you, we hear you, we truly appreciate the work that you're doing and the light that you're shining. And for those of you watching, if you found this information useful, again, please share this video. It's www.elevatevoices.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Bye-bye. Blessings.